Father, thank you for this opportunity to be together. And we're not just with each other, but we're in your presence. Amen. And we pray that you would please guide our conversation so that we would honor you, because that's our desire. We want Jesus to be exalted. So we commit this time to you and commit this conversation. Just ask that what you want to do would be done. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I am delighted to introduce a dear friend and a dear brother in Christ. Boyd Hopkins is a naturalist who has been quoted in Town and Country magazine and all kinds of other publications because he works with one of the top resorts in the world. And part of what that resort is known for is not just providing luxurious food and accommodations, but fabulous experiences in the outdoors. And Boyd and his wife lead people who come from all over to experience the Smokies. They lead them into places that most people never see. And they point out things that most people have never noticed. And folks come back saying, you know, that was really huge. It's not just the pillow that you sleep on or the sheets in the resort, but it's the moments of interacting with nature. And Boyd does that with an artist's eye. His photography is absolutely magnificent, and his writing is absolutely beautiful. But I'm grateful to say that he does that and he shows that love of nature because he knows the Creator. He knows the one who put all this beauty there for us to enjoy. So we're going to be talking a little bit about his journey today, how God got him to where he is right now. And with all these folks I'm interviewing, none of us knows where the path is going to lead short term in the future. But we do know that those who are in Christ Jesus are all going to end up at the Father's house. And that's because of Jesus. So Boyd Hopkins, welcome to the program.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
You bet. When you were a little kid, you basically started out your life being brought to Sunday school and church and all the normal, regular stuff with a mom who was just devoted to Jesus Christ and so forth. Is that correct?
Well, we did eventually reach that stage in our journey, yes.
But that's not where you started, is it?
Not how it started. No. David says he was conceived in sin, and so was I. I was 12 years old before I did the math and realized that my parents were married in August and I was born in March. Yeah, I was the child of children. They were 14 when they met and married at 16 and a half, and
mm-hmm.
we just kind of grew up together.
Yep. And your mom had a different kind of religious background, didn't she?
Yeah, and to this day she doesn't divulge a lot about that, which is just as well because that's not her narrative anymore. But
mm-hmm.
she was a practicing Wiccan in her teens. What all exactly that involved, I'm not sure. I do know that she was involved in tarot cards and fortune telling and so on and so forth. Had been raised in a Catholic home environment, but
mm-hmm.
never had a relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was just a farm boy.
Mm-hmm.
Did not attend church, wasn't really taught about Christ either. Perhaps they occasionally said grace at dinner on rare occasions, but in spite of that, he had enough wherewithal, and the Lord was wooing him to the point that he knew that what Mom was doing was not right.
Mm-hmm.
And so did everything he could to discourage that, and initially it resulted in a lot of unrest in the home because whatever spirits that mom was involved with wanted to stay involved.
Yeah. Let me pause there. Mm-hmm. Because the reality is, even though a lot of people who practice various kinds of witchcraft mm-hmm. don't understand the truth about what they're doing.
That's exactly right.
There is a reality there. There's a lot of stuff connected with Wiccan and so forth that's bogus.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a spiritual reality.
No, that's true.
And your mother was involved with spirits mm-hmm. that were real, and as you said, didn't want to let go, didn't want to leave.
Right.
So your dad did something that kind of broke things open, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, yeah. At some point, his backbone stiffened up a little bit, and he came home one evening and burned all of her spell books and tarot cards and stuff. And it was quite the row, I understand. My grandmother came and picked me up and took her to her house for a few days until the dust settled. At any rate, that was the beginning of a turning point, actually more so in my mother's life than my father's life, and mom did end up coming to Christ, and probably in part because she was very spiritually hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy was just feeding her the counterfeit. But,
yes.
But in the absence of that, she stumbled on the real thing.
Well, and you know, again, God was at work in all of this.
That's right.
God was the one who put it in your dad's heart that this is not right, even though your dad didn't know the Lord.
That's right.
And your dad did something that was a good thing. Mm-hmm. I'm reminded of when Gideon was told by the Lord that he needed to tear down the idol
That's
that
right.
his father had, that everybody came to worship at.
That's true.
And that was a bold thing. And the people who were used to worshiping there were very angry.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, those spirits are real,
yeah.
and they don't want people freed from them.
That's right.
But when your dad did that, he didn't know the Lord.
Right.
Your mom didn't know the Lord. You didn't know the Lord.
Right.
But God knew what he had planned mm-hmm. for all of you, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Yeah.
So your mama comes home. She finds that all of her witchcraft stuff has been destroyed
mm-hmm.
by her loving husband.
Right.
And you have to be airlifted out by grandma.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But because of the hunger your mother had,
right.
in the absence of that stuff, she ended up going to church.
That's right, yeah.
And that yeah. was where she met the Lord.
That's correct. That's correct. So and all this is taking place in the Firelands region of Ohio, what they call the Sufferer's Lands. It was a part of Ohio that was given to settlers in Connecticut after their homes were burned during the American Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
So during all this transition, mom and dad decided to move to Orange County, North Carolina. Big change. Dad was following a dairy job down there. He was a dairy farmer.
Mm-hmm.
And mom got involved with a good church down there, you know, developed a lot of good relationships with folks in the church. And dad stayed home and milked cows, you know.
Mm-hmm.
and a lot of Sunday afternoons after church, the minister would come and talk to dad and ask him why he hadn't been to church with mom and encourage him to come and what have you. And dad would just kind of blow him off, you know. Of course, the minister would always come in his Sunday clothes, and
mm-hmm.
it's very proper, seemingly, you know, to mm-hmm. dad anyway. Dad will always be covered with cow manure most of the time. But,
mm-hmm.
And then one day, it was a Saturday, dad was down milking cows, and he looked up. You could see the house up on the hill from the barn, and he was underneath of a cow milking her by hand, and
mm-hmm.
looked up, and the minister and couple of the elders were push mowing his lawn for him because he hadn't had time to mow it in a few days and it was getting kind of high. Well, that made an impression.
Mm-hmm.
And he decided he'd go to church, and he did end up receiving Christ. And Really, of course, I'm not the one to judge or decide, but by all appearances and by the fruit that he bore in his lifetime, I think Dad really, in a lot of ways, he was a better spiritual example in my life than my mother was, even. Mm-hmm. Just had a really solid, quiet faith, mm-hmm. very unwavering, just really, really inspiring.
Praise God.
My dad's relationship with Christ. And Dad worked his tail off, you know, all of his life, and I think kind of really worked himself to death. He ended up passing away of a heart attack when he was 58 years old.
Mm.
But had a lot of amazing things happen in his lifetime between the time that he accepted Christ and the time that he went home to be with Christ. And,
yes.
And in fact, the last word that he spoke was Jesus. And,
praise
and,
God.
And he was not using the Lord's name in vain.
Yeah.
He was looking right at his Savior who had come to take him home.
Praise God.
It's just quite a testimony.
Amen.
So, anyway, and when I was 9 years old, by then, Mom and Dad had very much settled in their faith and grown, you know, mm-hmm. from milk to meat.
Mm-hmm.
We're leading a lot of Bible studies, counseling a lot of younger couples and what have you. I was diagnosed with leukemia by two different doctors
mm-hmm.
who told my mother, basically, as a 9-year-old, that I was going to die.
Yeah.
And not unlike that young lady in the Bible who was told that her child was dead. Mom said, no, that's not going to happen, sorry. And she prayed, and the church prayed, and Dad prayed, and the next doctor said, this child doesn't have anything but a sinus infection, you know, so praise the Lord for that. And just many things that stand out in my mind from my childhood. I remember Mom had this little green Pinto car that was just really a rattle trap. And mm-hmm. It went through so much transmission fluid. It needed a new transmission, but they couldn't afford to put one in it, so they just put more transmission fluid in it, you know. And by this time, Dad had stopped milking cows and started hauling cows. He was mm-hmm. he was hauling cows from Maryville, Tennessee to Kansas City, and sometimes he'd swap trailers and go from Kansas City on out to California, so he'd be gone sometimes a week and a half, 2 weeks at a time. So wow. If there was a problem while he was gone, Mom had to take care of it, you know.
Yeah.
And there was some place she needed to go, the grocery store or something, and the Pinto was out of transmission fluid, and she didn't have any, didn't know how she was going to get any, couldn't get to the store, didn't have any money. Well, during the night, on our little country road that rarely saw more than a pickup truck, an 18-wheeler went by, and we had a sharp curve right in front of our house. And the only thing that the 18-wheeler was hauling on the giant flatbed trailer was a 50-gallon drum of transmission fluid. And when he went around that sharp curve, it rolled off into our front yard, and he never came back for it. It was like the widow's oil that never ran out, you know. In fact, I think I was 17 when Dad finally burnt the rest of it on a brush pile just to get rid of it. But, so just lots of things like that.
The Lord can provide in surprising ways.
That's exactly right.
And you saw that growing up.
Over and over and over and over and over. I remember a little church that we attended for several years, they would have poundings, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You would load up a truck full of groceries and take it to a needy family that someone in the church knew about or mm-hmm. that was a member of the church or the community or whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, my dad was one of the few men that had a working pickup truck in the church, and so mm-hmm. often he was the one who delivered it, you know.
Yep.
And one winter, they were going to have a pounding and asked Dad if he would haul the groceries. And he said, well, sure, he would. And it was probably the biggest load of groceries I'd ever seen him load up in that truck. And they said, okay, take that on home, you know.
How sweet.
Yeah.
How sweet.
Yeah, it was for him, and he didn't even know it. But
that's wonderful.
So, yeah.
Now, you shared about your mother getting saved. Mm-hmm. You shared about your dad getting saved. Mm-hmm. You grew up in that environment, but at what point did it go from something you were hearing and learning about and accepting perhaps on one level mm-hmm. to really being personal, where Boyd
yeah.
got serious with Jesus?
Surprisingly early. Most people would not even believe it, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
4 years old, mm-hmm. I can take you to the farmhouse, to the room, to the corner that I was in.
Yes.
Dad had made us a toy box that was about 2 feet deep and about 4.5-5 feet long, and my little sister and I kept that till we were probably in our late teens, just for sentimental reasons, but mm-hmm. That was our altar, you know, when we said our bedtime prayers or anything like that. We kneeled at that toy box, and I'll never forget kneeling at that toy box and asking Christ to be my Savior.
And
I knew from that day on, without a shadow of a doubt, that He was.
Is that because of how you felt or because of what He says?
Well, it's an interesting thing. You know, a lot of people do get hung up on their feelings, but... And it's okay to have doubts and to address those doubts with the Lord, and He will reassure you. But interestingly enough, and I'm just very fortunate in this regard, I suppose, but there's never been a time, ever, and I'm almost 50 years old,
mm-hmm.
that I have not known, you know, since that time that I gave
yes.
my life to Christ, that God loved me,
mm-hmm.
that He was for me, that mm-hmm. He had my back in whatever mm-hmm. situation. I've never once doubted His love for me.
Praise God.
And I know a lot of people lose loved ones and have problems, and they go through phases where they're angry with God and they have questions. And that could happen to me yet. You know, my mm-hmm. life's not over. But so far in my life, I've not had that. I've always just had a very natural reassurance of the love of God, and I thank God for that, because I know that's not the normal experience for everybody.
That's right. It's not. And I can relate to this, because I also was converted as a preschooler, and I can take you to the very place where it happened. It was interesting, a number of years ago when I was helping out a relative in Illinois, I went by and looked at the house
yeah.
and looked at the window that night when I prayed
yeah.
to receive the Lord, that window was open a little bit. The curtains were kind of blowing a little
wow.
bit like this. And I was the only one in the room.
Wow.
But I woke back up and realized I had never asked the Lord to save me. And we're not saved because of a prayer we pray. We're saved because Jesus died on the cross to save us.
Right.
But we need to receive that gift.
Yeah, that's right.
And I had never received it. I believed it was true. Intellectually, I didn't have any doubt. But as far as relationally, I'd never responded.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never thanked Him. I'd never asked Him to save me. And so I did that as a preschooler. And then when I got to be 5 years old, I wasn't doubting God, but I was concerned that in light of how young I was when I prayed to receive Christ, I needed assurance of my salvation. And so I asked my dad, who was our pastor, if he would pray with me for the assurance of my salvation. So he came up to my room and he said, what do you mean, assurance of salvation? And I said, well, I want to be sure that I'm saved. And he said, saved from what? And I said, well, saved from hell. I don't want to go to hell. And he said, well, why would you go to hell? And I said, well, because I've sinned. And he said, what have you done? And I said, well, I've disobeyed you and Mom, and I've lied, and I've been selfish. And he said, oh, well, is that really enough to make a person go to hell? And I said, yes. Sin results in death. The wages of sin is death. My parents had me memorizing scripture at an early age. I said, the wages of sin is death. And he said, oh, well, then how can anybody be saved? And I said, well, because Jesus died on the cross. My dad did a beautiful job of walking me through with question after question after question. And when he got to the point where, you know, so is everybody going to heaven? No, you need to receive it. Well, have you done that? Well, yes. Well, did he promise that if you ask him, he'll save you? Yes. My dad looked at me and he said, would he lie to you? And that was what I needed.
Yeah.
Because, again, the assurance of salvation is not based on our confidence in ourselves or a prayer we prayed or a card we signed or how much water they used when they baptized us.
Mm-hmm.
Our confidence is in our Savior.
That's right.
He's the one who saves.
Amen.
And He saved you when you were very young with parents who had not been saved when they were very young.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that I really hope comes from these discussions that we're having with believers about how the Lord has saved them is that people will realize not everybody has the same experience. I remember as a kid thinking, you know, I'd hear all these amazing testimonies. And, you know, Rick Carino overdosed on drugs and was inside a dumpster when the truck came and was loading him into what would be certain death, crushed by heavy machinery. And God spared his life.
Yeah.
And then he got saved and so forth and so on. And I thought, boy, I don't have a testimony like that. And Boyd doesn't have a testimony like that.
No, you know.
Boyd got saved as a kid.
Yeah.
But what God has done in your life and in my life is just as miraculous.
Yeah.
As somebody who
if not
gets
more
up
so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is you didn't have to go through what a lot of people go through. But that doesn't mean it's all been easy, has
right.
it?
Right. No, it, like most people, most of what I've gone through that I didn't enjoy was of my own doing. But yeah, I'm the same way. I used to listen to all these, you know, seemingly wonderful, spectacular testimonies and think, man, my testimony is pretty boring. And then one day I was reading in the Gospels and I realized that I was so blessed that my testimony was so much like the testimony of Christ as a child. I mean, and I'll mess it up, of course, but it basically says, and the child grew in the knowledge of the Lord and was mm-hmm. and grew strong, you know, and that was it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't say, you know, oh, he ran off and did this, that, or the other, and then came back, and it was wonderful, you know. It's just, he just lived, grew strong, grew in the knowledge of the Lord, and that's basically what I did as a child. I mean, my parents, you know, I'm sure they would have other things to tell you, but like, honestly, I mean, I think they had it pretty easy as far as I was raising me. I ate a lot, but I didn't cause a whole lot of trouble. But.
So, not claiming to be sinless like Jesus, just saying that he was blessed with a rather uneventful childhood.
Amen.
With regard to behavior off the rails.
Exactly.
Now, along the way, there have been challenges,
mm-hmm.
and you've made mistakes.
So for sure.
But God has never forsaken us, has he?
No, that's right.
He's always faithful. When did you start to realize that you had a special, not only love for the outdoors, but a special knack for seeing the detail and learning about the stuff that's out there?
Because
you've been doing this now. How long have you been working at the place you work now?
Well, I've been working where I'm working right now for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it's now 2020.
Yep.
And I've been guiding people professionally in the Smoky Mountains since 1993.
Wow.
In one capacity or another.
Yeah.
Over 15 years as a horseback guide in the Smoky Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
A couple seasons with the Natural History Association in the park.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, a long time. Unfortunately, I learned something new just about every day, and often from people I don't expect to learn it from. You know, that's one thing that you should know is that you can learn something from anybody. A lot of times it comes from both unlikely sources, but at any rate, it's part of that. I think most of what I now know about, you know, nature and wildflowers and trees and animals and what have you, I had already learned by the time I was 12. I wasn't involved in the team sports. I basically spent all my time wandering around the woods with a dog or a horse and with a book in my hand.
And with a book in your hand. Please mention that.
That's right. Yeah, and people to this day say, why have you never gotten a Kindle? And I tell them, well, the battery never died on my book. But so, yeah, I've got a big, musty library at home, but I've since bequeathed some of my early books to my own children and to my nieces and nephews, and I try not to regret that too much. Every once in a while, I read through a book that's not there anymore, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to get on Amazon and get another one of those.
Well, God brought you to our church here a number of years back, and you and Joy joined and have been much loved members of the church and taken a lot of people from the church on hikes in the park and that sort of thing, and often accompanied by a couple of non-horses. Tell us just for a moment about those creatures that you have an affinity for.
Yeah, so yeah, we do have a few horses, but we've kind of got to a point in our life that where it was more trouble to saddle up a horse and take it somewhere than it was to just go for a walk. And And then many years ago, I had had a handful of llamas. And at that time, I also had a thoroughbred horse that was absolutely terrified of them. I mean, his eyes would glaze over. He would just walk through a fence to get away from it. So I decided the llamas had to go at that time. So I was out of llamas for 20-some-odd years. But we recently got back into it because, you know, No drama with the llama. If they step on your foot, it's not going to break your toe. Whereas we used to do some camping with the horses and spend the night with them, if you don't do that with your horse a lot, then your horse is just a nervous wreck and it'll stay up all night screaming and pawing and trying to break things. But with llamas, they go to sleep when you go to sleep and they wake up when you wake up. So it's pretty nice. You can't ride them, but they carry your stuff.
Exactly. They carry the load.
That's right, which you would think that would mean that you would not have to carry anything, but in reality, sometimes it just means that I take more junk along than I actually need, but, you know, it's glamping, I guess, at that point.
Yes. Well, Boyd, thank you so much for taking time to visit with us and share how Jesus not only saved you when you were very young, but saved your parents in a rather unusual way.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And I'm so grateful that every single story is unique, and all of us have the same Savior.
Yes, sir.
He's the only one there is.
Yep.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you don't know Him, I pray that you will trust Him, because He's reaching out to you right now. God bless you.